Today we are continuing with our series called The Simple Life, and we are up to the letter M now, and the letter M will stand for the word member. I'd like to begin with this scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And we read this from the Apostle Paul. He says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." This verse says that we are members of God's household. What Paul is referring to there is we are part of the family of God. That means if you are in Christ, when you look around at other Christians, they are your brothers and your sisters in Christ. As we read the letter to the Ephesians, Paul uses that word member quite a bit. He also says that we are members of one body. And again, the picture that Paul is painting here is that we as Christians are linked together. We belong together. You could say that we come from the same bloodline. Now, as families, I know I have three sisters. We share a common bloodline of June and Dave, Roseland. But as Christians, we share a common bloodline as well. And that bloodline is the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us that we could be saved and forgiven and be a part of the family of God. And what we need to see is that we are linked together by Him. Well, in light of being a member or part of God's family, I want us to consider two questions today. And the first question is this, and we'll spend most of our time on this question, is what are some key aspects of being a member? And there's three things I'd like to touch on today. The first is this, and that is there ought to be a sense of belonging. When you come to put your faith in Jesus, I hope you see that it's not just you and Jesus, but you've been brought into a family. You've been brought into a part of believers. You've been linked. We live in a world where so many search for belonging. So many want to belong. They want to be a part of something. And so many will join different teams or clubs, maybe a sports team or maybe a drama club. Or when you think about it, even gangs. Why do some young men sometimes even join a gang? Because they just want to be a part of something. They want to belong to something. There's this longing to belong that humanity has. And often this is why people join certain groups, certain activities. And in our culture, people can become part of something without ever even being in the presence of someone else. You think of social media, right, and different groups that are out there. You may be able to have relationships with people and you've never even met them before. I think of online gaming, right? Some of our kids may be into online gaming. They have these deep relationships with these other people that they've never met. And often it's just because they want to belong. They want to be a part of something. Not always. Sometimes it's just fun. I mean, why did I play baseball? Because I like to play baseball, not because I wanted to be a part of something. But oftentimes, people just want that belonging, that sense of belonging. Well, here's the beauty of being a Christian. You belong. You already belong. You don't need to search for your belonging. You don't need to be like you two and say, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." You've got it. You belong to the body of Christ. You belong to God's family. You see, this family is far greater than anything in this world. You think of belonging to something special, maybe being on a professional sports team. Imagine being a member of the Buffalo Bills or something, right? Buffalo Bills. I mean, that would be incredible, right? Or maybe the Giants or Patriots. But being a part of a sports team or maybe some luxurious yacht club and you think this is fantastic. That is nothing. Nothing compared to being part of God's family. Why? Because God has ordained the family. God has put the family together. God has chosen us to be part of His family. And so if we ever crinkle our nose at another Christian and say, "You know, I really don't think I don't think Arlene should be part of the family of God. I really don't like her personality, and so I'm just picking on her. But I don't think it's good that she's part of the family. My issue is not so much with Arlene, it's with God. Because God has chosen her before the creation of the world to be part of his family. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He says this, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." And so as a Christian, know this, you belong to this incredible family. Do we have shortcomings? Absolutely. Do we have struggles, maybe one with another? Absolutely. Is there any perfect Christian? No. But God has put us together, and we need to see the hand of God. We need to see that we truly belong to his family, and we need to praise his glorious grace for doing so. Well, number two is we ought to strive for unity. It's one thing to know, yes, I'm a part of something. I'm a member of the body of Christ. That's good. But we're also called to strive for unity. And as a member, unity must be seen as something that is of the utmost importance. Wouldn't it be nice if every Christian agreed with every Christian on everything? That'd be kind of neat. But we all know it doesn't work that way because we live in a fallen world. If that were the case, there would never, ever be a church split over carpet color or style of music or youth activities or a pastor's tie or lack of tie. Whatever you name your topic that people can get in arguments over and fight over and have division over. There's not really any biblical mandate. It's just a preference. And so there's often disunity. Again, we live in a fallen world, and though we've been saved by grace and God has done a huge transformation in our lives, there's still these remnants of sin that remain. We still have these fleshly wills. We still have these sinful desires and selfish desires, and at times we may want things to go our way. We may want something to happen this particular way, and when it doesn't, we get a little angry, and we may even dig in our heels and actually put up our dukes and say, "Hit me with your best shot, brother or sister." We may don't start singing there, Johnny. But or we may just say, "I just don't want to be a part of this anymore." And so this is why we need to strive for unity. Or you could say it this way, to keep the unity or to maintain the unity. This is what we find once again in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Here's the key phrase. "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called." It's so important that we understand the emphasis that God places on unity for his people, for his body. You see, Paul doesn't say, "Hey, if you have a beef with your brother or sister, you know, and you're just not feeling it, you're just not real comfortable talking to the person. I mean, the last time it was pretty messy and ugly that you talked to them, but it's okay. Just don't worry about it. Just let it go." Paul never says that. He doesn't say if you've got a beef with someone, you're at odds with another brother or sister, just ignore it. You know, maybe in 3 years that person will move, or maybe they'll die and you'll never have to even deal with it. No, he says, deal with it. Work at it. Work at unity. And so we see this phrase here. It's loaded with action. Make every effort to keep the unity. Now that phrase make every effort is one word in the Greek. Some of your Bibles may have the word endeavor there. It's the idea of giving due diligence. It's working hard at this unity thing. It's saying this: I'm not going to be lazy. I'm not going to be complacent. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to be indifferent. I'm not going to ignore it. And the second phrase, to keep, some of your translations may have the word maintain. But it also has the idea of guarding and protecting the unity. So again, there's great effort at just keeping and really maintaining this unity. And so it's not a casual kind of keeping. And it's not like, say, I just got a new recliner. I said, I'm going to keep that recliner. You know, but, you know, if it gets a little worn out, or, you know, I just get bored with it and want a new recliner, off to the curb it goes. No, the idea is, this recliner, I'm keeping this, baby. I'm guarding this recliner. Anybody sits in this recliner, you better be gentle with it. You better put that lever back nice and easy. I'm getting protective covers for the arms so that it doesn't get ruined. This baby is lasting me till Jesus comes. Some of my kids joke with me about our dining room table because I kind of said that when we bought it like 10 years ago. I said, this table is going to last us, people. I mean, long time. But anyway, but this is the idea of unity. We want unity to go on and on and on. Keep on maintaining it. Just like in the physical world, we need to maintain things, so too in the spiritual sense, we need to maintain unity. Wouldn't it be great if we never had to maintain things? How many of you have a pool, right? Some of you used to have a pool, and you know what it's like to maintain a pool. And it's like, yeah, it'd be great if you never had to maintain it, right? Wouldn't it be great if you never had to, if your viscosity never broke down in your oil and you never had to change your oil? That'd be wonderful. Or your brake pads never wore out and you had to change them. Or the white picket fence never needed painting. Well, who has a white picket fence? Probably not anymore. But maybe you got vinyl, right? You got vinyl and you're thinking, this is great, maintenance free, until it gets dirty and maybe some mold begins to grow on it. You got to power wash it. What is really, not too much is truly maintenance free, is it? The same is true in the spiritual sense. Because we are all fallen. We are all sinners. We all fall short every day of the glory of God. That as Christians, there is this spiritual maintenance that we need as well. And part of that maintenance is making sure that we are united one to another in Christ. That I don't have I'm not upset or angry with any brother or sister in Christ. I don't have any division with any brother or sister in Christ. This is the will of God for us. Listen to the words of Jesus. Beautiful words in his prayer in John chapter 17. Jesus prays this as he's about to go to the cross. And again, you think about all the weight that Christ was feeling in this moment, but yet listen to what was very close to his heart. He says, my prayer, he's talking to the Father, is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. If this was the heart of Christ, if this was the prayer of Christ at this most crucial hour of his life, should it not be the cry and the prayer of our heart as well, that there would be oneness and unity in the body of Christ? I say it is. And so let me ask you this. Is there any maintenance work that maybe you need to work on, maybe with another brother or another sister? I'd encourage you to get busy. Get busy working. Because that is God's will. That is God's will for you. Well, number three is fellowship. Fellowship. Not only is it good to understand that we belong to each other, that we can say, hey, brother, we're part of the same family. We are family, right? I've got all my sisters and me and brothers. Right? We're part of this family. It's great to know that we belong. It's also great to know that God desires unity, and so I'm going to work hard, difficult as it may be, work hard to have unity with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But God is asking us to even go further than this, one step further, and that is also to fellowship one with another. We read these words in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Luke, writing about the early church, says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Many of you are familiar with the Greek word there for fellowship, the word koinonia, and it means this, an in-depth sharing of our lives, the in-depth sharing of our lives. And so this fellowship goes much deeper than just what we call a generic unity. In other words, there's a unity that can exist because we know that we're part of the family of God. And so we may agree on certain key doctrines. You get your church constitution and there's all their statement of what we believe. And you say, yeah, you nod your head. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm on the same page as everybody here. You may do that, but it goes much deeper than that. It's more than even coming together and being united, even in a day like today, where we may shake hands and hug and high five. It goes even deeper than that, this idea of fellowship. And this fellowship is something that can be difficult for many of us to participate in. And why is that? Well, there are many reasons. Let me just give you two main reasons, two key reasons when you begin to think about it. And one could be simply this, a busy life. You may examine your life and say, gee, I really don't have a whole lot of fellowship. And it could be because of the busyness that you are a part of. Now, we all have the same amount of time, don't we? All of us have been given 24 hours a day, right? Yet some of us may have more responsibilities or more things that consume our time than others, but we've all been given this time allotment. If you are here and you have a, quote, full-time job, then that means that many hours of your day are given to work things. And so you may spend 9-10 hours on a day on work related things. Maybe if you're overtime, maybe even more, right? 12, 13. Where's Jeff, right, Jeff? I mean, some days, long, long days. And so because of that, it may be very limited to find some fellowship. Not only that, but when you get home, there are household duties, right? Household chores. And then you've got to do that thing called sleep, right? You've got to fit that in somewhere. And then you throw kids in the mix. Now, we got some new parents back there, and they've only got one kid so far, right? Now, let me ask you, has your life kind of changed? Your perception of time and what it takes to invest in a child, has it changed at all in the past few months? Just a little bit, right? We who have kids know that it just takes a lot of time. They consume much of our time, and it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing. I know when we had five in the home and our boys were playing baseball, we'd be at the baseball field four nights a week. And two of the boys played on the same night, so we'd watch half of one game and go over to another field and watch half of the other game. And then when I started coaching, it became even more busier, whatever you want to say there. But even then, even though I may not have had as much fellowship as I needed, even then God used that season to build some relationships and to have some relationships that I wouldn't have had. And so I'm grateful for that. But know this, fellowship is so, so important. And we need to work hard at trying to fellowship one with another. There's no magic fellowship pill you can take. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just go to Walmart over the counter? Here's a fellowship pill. Oh, I got my fix for the day, fix for the week. I'm good to go. It doesn't work that way. It takes time. It needs to be a priority. We need to say, you know what? Fellowship is important, and I'm going to make some time to fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And know this, that we have an enemy, the devil, who does not want us to fellowship. And so he will throw all kinds of things. It could be busyness, could be procrastination, could be the me time syndrome. Everybody have the me time syndrome where you just can't wait to do, I want to do what I want to do. But as a Christian, it's let me do what God wants me to do, and then I'll put my stuff, if my stuff fits in, then that's fine. We often miss fellowship because of these things. And so maybe today, if you are able to participate in fellowship with other Christians and you're just not doing it, I would encourage you to do that. If you say, how can I do that? Come see me. If you want to start a fellowship group, maybe in your home, maybe you can't make it during the week, maybe you can do a Tuesday morning or something. See me. Let's try to work this out so we can have more fellowship among us. Well, number one might be because of busyness. Another reason why true fellowship can be difficult is because this. It means we have to be vulnerable. What do I mean? Well, it means this, that this in-depth sharing goes much deeper than just, say, maybe sharing a meal together, which is a great thing. It goes much deeper than just sharing a tool with someone. You know, Mike needs to borrow my saw, chainsaw. Here you go, Mike. There you go. That's sharing. But this fellowship is an in-depth spiritual sharing of our lives with each other. And so the things we share maybe are our spiritual struggles. They may be our spiritual doubts, our spiritual discouragement. And so there is a sense in what when we need to really open ourselves up a bit, and others have to open themselves up a bit. And so because of that, there's going to be vulnerability, if I can get it out, between us. And whenever that happens, there's always the possibility of pain and hurt to come in, if you've ever been in that kind of situation. For example, let's say maybe you were struggling spiritually and you shared it with another brother or sister in a group, and all you got in return was judgment and condemnation. You just got a finger. The pointer finger is what you got pointed at you. In other words, you were looking for some grace and some prayer support to help you, and you only got condemnation back. And so because of that, maybe you shied away from fellowship. Could be one reason. Maybe you've had some good seasons of fellowship where there's been this tight bond that maybe you've had with brothers and sisters, and because that is no more, maybe something happened and it's just not what it was, and so you're like, I don't want my heart to go through that again. And so maybe you've withdrawn from any kind of fellowship. If you're in that boat today, then I encourage you, get back to where you can fellowship with other believers. And here's why. It's God's will. And I can pretty much almost guarantee you this. The number of times that you may get hurt or receive pain compared to the times you will receive joy and spiritual strength from fellowship can't even be weighed against one another. The joy and the strength that come from fellowship far, far outweigh those moments of pain and hurt that may come to you and I. So I encourage you to fellowship. How are you doing at fellowship? Is it a regular part of your life? And again, if not, then again, talk with me. It may be something as simple as saying, hey, you know what, I know my evenings are packed with family things, but Tuesday morning before work, I know what, John and Mike, I know we can get together here before work and we can pray and we can just share together. We can have fellowship. Fellowship comes in all kinds of shapes and packages. There's not one cookie cutter fellowship mold, but yet we need that. I encourage you to fellowship. Our final question is this: how does being a member of the body of Christ help us to live a simple life? You might be thinking, okay, Pastor, past couple weeks, you've said I need to read my Bible more. I need to pray more. Now you're telling me I need to take some time and fellowship more. You're just adding more and more to my plate. Sounds like you're complicating my life and not simplifying it. Well, just as with the Word of God and prayer, yes, it takes time to read the Word. Yes, it takes time to pray. But the benefits, the results of that are incredible. They will clear up the, quote, muddiness within our minds and hearts. That's what the Word does. That's what prayer does. And that's what fellowship does as well. How many of you can attest to the fact that you have at times struggled with something and fellowship has helped you to work through a trial or a difficult situation in your life? That is why it's worth investing in. That is why it's worth spending the time in. And that is how it can simplify your life. As we close today, I just want to close by saying that the most important thing you need to know is not that you're called to be a, quote, member of a local church. That's a great thing. But the most important thing in your life is to make sure that you're a member of the body of Christ. I forgot. Say that again. Acts 2:42. No, I did. I got that one today. I got that one. You must have been taking a little nap. No, just kidding. I did get that one, right? Yeah, yeah. That's okay. That's a good memory verse, by the way. But anyway. But yeah, make sure that you have repented of your sins and you've put your faith completely in Jesus, what he's done upon the cross, that he paid the price so that you could be saved. And when you put your faith in God, in Christ, you're part of his family. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would work in all of us, Lord. Lord, all of us, I speak for myself, but I know that I need greater love. I need greater love for you. I need greater love for your people, your body. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work that in my soul. Work that in my heart, God. Lord, I pray that we would all see the importance of just belonging to the body that you've chosen us by your grace. And Lord, that you've called us to be united, to have no divisions among us. And Lord, also to go difficult places with each other, Lord, where we may get hurt, we may feel pain, but Lord, often you use those things to shape us to be more like Jesus, who endured so much pain for us. Lord, I pray that you would increase our fellowship here. I thank you for the fellowship that exists in our various Bible studies, various groups that we have. But Lord, I pray that would multiply. And Lord, I pray that you would give me wisdom in knowing how to even help in this area with others. Oh Lord, help us to make fellowship a priority in our lives, that we might be strengthened, that we might walk this road together as brothers and sisters, hand in hand, arm in arm. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.